I used to get paid. I cut my hair into a fade. Then I banged a French maid. Full-blown AIDS, yeah. Right up in here, I got it in my butt. You know it, it's full-blown AIDS. Magic Johnson ain't got nothing on this shit. Now I got full-blown AIDS, yeah. Right up in here, I got it in my butt. You know it, it's full-blown AIDS. Magic Johnson ain't got nothing on this shit. I do what I feel. I got full-blown AIDS. Oh, it hurts me. Damn, it hurts. I got that AIDS. HIV. 1, 2, 3. I do what I feel. I got full-blown AIDS. Oh, it hurts me. Damn, it hurts. I got that AIDS. HIV. 1, 2, 3. I used to get paid.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 6 of Sometimes the Bear Eats You.
Booyah! Brought to you in part by, in 100% part by the Aqua Bear Legion. It's the whole part, yeah. By the Aqua Bear Legion.
That's right, aquabearlegion.com, your one source for Sometimes the Bear Eats You, and I think Noah and I have decided anything on the internet that you want, you can find it at aquabearlegion.com.
It's your one source for force.
And that is a guarantee.
A guarantee.
Your one source for force. I like that. People are going to think it's a Star Wars website, but that's okay. It'll just bring in more traffic.
I was thinking, I was thinking of a comic book that I can't quite remember the name of right now that has force. That was
Fantastic Force.
Yeah,
Freedom Force 5.
That old comic book, The Fantastic Force. I think, you know, the Hulk was in there. And a robot. Robo-Hulk. All right, we're already off the rails. Let's bring it back, buddy.
Okay, so I am your host, Chris, with my head in the clouds, and joining me, as always, your other host, your co-pilot, as it were, with a mouthful of Reese's Pieces and malt liquor, it is none other than Noah Andrews.
Hello, everybody. I hate to say it, but the drink of choice this time, Ohio, is Yingling.
Uh-huh. Oh, you're reaching back to your Pennsylvanian roots, huh?
Well, in the time that has spanned between this episode and the last, Stebby, the Yingling craze has started here in Ohio, and everyone is purchasing it and not smuggling it over state lines as they did in days of yore, but now can buy it freely in the land.
Yeah, and it's a goddamn media blitz. I don't know about Cleveland, but in Dayton, you can't, you know, look in any direction without seeing Yingling ads.
Well, the new thing for Browns fans to get pissed off about is the fact that now there is Yingling ads during Browns games.
Wah, wah.
And I don't even think there's Yingling ads during Steelers games back then. So that's a double whammy right there.
Double. So, a lot has happened since we last spoke to you loyal listeners on Sometimes the Berry Too. It's been a few months. We fell a little behind, but we were doing exciting things as we weren't podcasting.
Exactly.
Noah went to... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we got to have good content, you know, so we can keep our end of the bargain all square and good. Not just bombard you with a bunch of drivel, as I'm sure you podcast listeners might be used to if you are fond of listening to podcasts, and in particular comedy podcasts, which I guess...
The old drivel bombardment.
Is this a comedy podcast, or...
I don't know.
Maybe it's like a...
Let's not fucking put it into categories, man.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Man. So...
So, yeah.
You went to the Far East for a while. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that later.
Yeah.
A lot going on with Aqua Bear Legion. The 16 and 16 event happened out at Disjointed Studios, where 16 Aqua Bear bands came in 16 hours and recorded 16 tracks. So that was a lot of fun. We're really looking forward to hearing what came out of that. In podcast news, we have a new podcast joining us on AquaBearLegion.com.
Absolutely. Good old BK. I'm not talking about the Burger King. He's probably going to hate that, but...
Or British Knights.
Actually, British Knights is probably a cooler one. But our very own Brian Costco has a new and improved from nothing before podcast that has a peculiar name that you might actually think would belong to another website that perhaps is moose related.
That's right. It's called The Moose is Loose.
Yeah.
And he explains the title in the beginning of the first episode. So give that a listen. Lots of great Ohio musicians playing great Ohio music, and hosted by a great Ohio podcaster, Brian Costco.
Brian's stentorian rap voice is on there, so you can listen to that in all its glory.
Yeah, he has some mellow tones.
I think we were discussing in the pre-interview that it reminds me of the cover of a Donald Fagen record that I believe is called Nightfly or Barfly. I think it's Nightfly. Anyways, I think it's Donald Fagen's first solo album, and there's a picture of like some guy in a skinny tie next to an old timey phonograph and a microphone, like you might find at ABC Studios in the 40s, and he's smoking a cigarette. And I just have that very iconic image of Brian when he's talking into the microphone. But I really know it's just some Athens house, and he's probably got a cat somewhere near him. and it's less, you know, less colorful than that, but that's the great thing about podcasts, you know, it's the theater of the mind.
That's right.
Yeah.
We are in your mind, or at least on the outskirts of it, trying to peer in. But so let's get to it. This episode, we're going to talk a little bit about Akron, Ohio.
Mm.
We're going to talk to some people, talk to our friend Sean, who played in bands in Akron for years. We're going to talk to our old friend Rick, the foreign legionnaire of the Aqua Bear Legion, and he's going to tell us what he's been up to of late. But before that, let's hear some music of some sort.
Growl.
you guys got any of that fruit? So, you guys got any fruit? You want to smell like me? Get down, my foods. Get down, you guys got any of that fruit? So, you guys got any fruit? wanna smell like me.
Get down, my friends. Get down, Zay.
In conclusion, you guys got any of that fruit? So, you guys got any fruit? You wanna smell like me?
Get down, my friends. Get down.
You guys got any of that fruit? So, you guys got any fruit? You want to smell like me?
Get down.
And now, Sometimes the Bear Eats You presents Fun Time Movie Thing with Noah and Matthew. Episode 1. A Nightmare on Elm Street, Part 4, The Dream.
Dynasty reference.
Hey, baby. You're sucking on the wrong nozzle.
Hey, yo, needle dick. I bet you're the only male in this school suffering from penis envy. I owe you one.
Oh. No.
So disgusting.
Hey, Supergirl. Dead. Give a bug a break.
Dude, what was it on?
I have no idea what the, it was like some sort of
like a chip or something, but then it was like
a succotash chip or something. But the team that they assemble, like, you know, the those are the dudes from the last movie.
I can't believe this fucking Nev Campbell looking guy. I seriously cannot believe this.
He is pretty Nev Campbell.
Like, it's like astonishing.
Maybe Nev Campbell had a sex change.
I'm seriously curious at this point.
He has the awesomest t-shirts, too.
That don't mean dick.
I love...
Bitch. If Nev Campbell got a sex change, that's him.
If Nev Campbell got a sex change,
the dude from Nightmare on Elm Street, Nightmare on Elm Street 4.
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome if you had that? Like, if you're in the lockers, actually look like that. It was like some like Nike commercial or something.
Nev Campbell got a sex change.
Wait, pause.
Really?
No. I mean, check this shit out. Oh.
This is just.
There's a montage.
Do you think this guy even like?
It's like the shittiest montage too. Like, it's like a real time montage. Like, completely defeating the purpose of a montage.
How much do you think that cost in pyrotechnics right there? What do you think the total cost of just that part right there?
that part.
Yeah, him running out of this. I'm gonna say $300.
I would say that's around $300.
$300 right there. For what?
22 seconds of film?
Yeah, that's how it is sometimes. I will say, a lot of these Freddy movies...
stuck in a traffic jam.
Look at that. That's incredible, because at some point, you know, that's obviously... You know, it becomes just a...
That's a really good...
effect. It's very nice. I thought that was nice. Well done.
Yeah, he's on the planet of junk. He's on Junkyard. Yeah. He's like on... What's the Transformers planet? From the movie, where they're... Like, the Junkyard planet?
Yeah, I can't remember, but I knew what you mean.
Or Wreck-Gar and all that.
You mean the old one. The old movie.
Yeah.
What's
Transformers!
The animation.
Yeah.
Isn't that a great movie?
Fuck yeah.
I thought that was a really good
Orson
movie.
Orson Welles as Omicron.
Yeah, it was so intense. It's a classic. Yeah, this deep space scenes were like...
Yeah, we're like fucking...
Where what's his name goes to... was it Omicron?
Omicron is the planet.
And then the guy... But then that guy is like talking to it. Like... Who's the bad guy?
Well, Megatron dies in that movie.
Right.
And then he comes back...
Some legs, some upper thigh.
As Galvatron. So Galvatron hooks up with Omicron.
Okay.
And,
I just remember those scenes where they're in deep space, like, talking. There's, like, this...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's fucking intense, man. It was really trippy. It was, like, cosmic.
Yeah.
Deep space stuff. I saw it in
some
the theater.
Some of the old,
I saw it in the theater. When
me too, yeah. I saw it in the theater in Ohio, like, with my cousins.
Yeah, my grandma took me. She's gonna find a dead body.
Yeah, but in the strangest place. Your son was killed.
Ooh, look at that ass shot.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Joey's mom has better jeans. Oh!
Yeah.
Technically, he could be surviving because there was a giant, like...
But there was no fucking... Yeah, bubble. Yeah.
Yeah, right in front of his face.
But why was the water was like blue? Wasn't it red last night?
And, yeah, well, I mean, he was having his wet dream, so...
Right.
Also, there seemed to be some sort of, like, pool lights in his fucking waterbed, which makes no sense that he would act... Like, they have no idea how a waterbed works. They think it's just, like, this giant pool full of...
2,000 meters deep.
Was like...
This is no ordinary waterbed. It's home to over 11,000 different... species.
So, it's like a fucking aquarium on the first floor.
Yeah. It's just like plugged with like the top is just like a little like a muffin at the top. Like.
Yeah.
She drugged her.
Oh, God. What did you do?
Oh, shit. She gave her daughter drugs.
Jesus. Sleeping pills? Look, Kristen, I'm sorry. I'm just sorry. Sorry that you and your tennis pals torched this guy and now he's after me. In case you haven't been keeping score, it's his fucking banquet and I'm the last course.
Ooh.
She's laying down cold hard facts in this bitch.
Oh, go upstairs to bed. Get comfortable. Don't go outside and like go for a walk or anything.
Walk it off. Just walk that sleeping pill off.
Well, I mean,
what did she think she was drinking though? Like there's literally like,
yeah, that's
fucking
Metamucil. Fiber, mom. Fiber. You want me to shit my pants when I sleep? the point of this shit?
Okay, so remember in like the first 5 minutes of the movie when she crushes a bug?
Oh, right.
That's
right.
What you were supposed to figure out, like, fucking an hour and 10 minutes later. They're like, hey, remember when that girl crushed the bug? That's what's going on right now. And also, like, that actress, I love the backstory of that. Like, in real life, like, she by far has, like, the most, like, makeup heavy and, like, sort of disgusting, like, death. Everyone else is like, eh, whatever. Like,
right.
So she must be, like, a super freak in real life for her to read that script and be like, so everyone else is gonna get, like, there's this one girl who dies on the beach.
Right.
You know? How am I gonna die? Oh, you're gonna be transformed into a bug, and then we're gonna put all kinds of, like, slime and, like, give you,
Oh, dude! Oh, fuck.
Turn you into a cockroach.
Alright, how many more times can this happen? No, but the effects in general of that ending were incredible.
Yeah, I especially like the yarn.
It's like a lost art, you know?
Yeah, practical effects are absolutely a lost art. That's all what that was.
The few people that are doing it can't get paid to do it is the problem, you know?
No.
They'll do it like for a few freaks that still want that. But like,
well, that's a good thing though, is that,
you know, that's what threw off last night, Dan. I haven't done that in days.
Still having trouble. I can sleep 2, maybe 3 hours if I'm lucky. I don't mind though.
Now she's the white, you know, in white angel.
Yeah.
He's got the hunky boyfriend.
Yeah, I do.
I
think you do, too. Here goes.
What?
Fuck you, movie. Fuck you.
I wish Freddy would come back.
I kind of miss him. He kind of gives purpose to my life. Hands on me. Dumbest reason ever to put everyone in alphabetical order.
It's an alphabetical
Tuesday
order.
Night was Kristen. We'll be right back.
Concordia Discourse with I had to eat an entire joint because my wife is a horrible driver. And I have a special treat today on Sometimes the Bear Eats You. I'll just let my guest speak for himself. Can you introduce yourself, please, sir?
This is Sean MFD, a.k.a. Sean Jurisic, from formerly of Akron, Ohio, and the bands Interfuse and Tightwits and National Suicide Day.
Awesome. Sean, thank you so much for being here with me.
No problem. Glad to hear. I bet that song was an amazing one. The good old Concordia Discourse, you know, they did it and threw down the noise and up the face like they did.
Well, so, as you said, we know you from some Akron bands, but you are no longer living in Akron, right? Where are you these days?
I'm an Akron expatriate living in, I used to live in lower Akron, L.A. Now I live in the actual Los Angeles area, outside of Hollyweird and all the wonderful things that is the state that will probably fall off into the ocean, California.
Well, you can serenade it as it happens.
That's definitely, I'll put that on my list of things to do before it does fall in the ocean.
So are you playing on the West Coast now?
It's not yet. I just got myself situated. Currently, I had to leave all of my musical gear and basically my rock and roll heart here in Akron, Ohio. I did the whole liquidate and relocate. Packed up my car with me, my dog, my guitar, and just some clothes, and headed out there for New Horizons.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, aside from obvious things like the weather, maybe a little more when it comes to music or entertainment that you see out there, how does the West Coast differ from the good old Midwest?
I'll tell you what, we are bands in Akron, we always had some humor and had fun offending as many people as we could with inside jokes and sarcasm. And although I do love the weather out there in Los Angeles, people are really offended very easily. Everything's very PC, which I didn't really expect. That's just in general interaction with people, but it's a little more lively music-wise right now just because it seems like a lot of bands quit coming through Akron-Cleveland area. So that's kind of happening there. It's a pretty fractured scene as opposed to I saw it here in Northeast Ohio in the Midwest.
Yeah. So speaking back to that connection to Akron, I know things aren't maybe at their peak right now. As you said, a lot of touring bands are skipping over Northeast Ohio, if not Ohio altogether. Can you tell me some of your, you know, fondest musical memories of Akron or Ohio in general?
Oh, man, there's just trying to limit it down to one. It's pretty wild. I was actually in the car and driving home from work today, and believe it or not, I was listening to Bruce Springsteen on the local Akron station, and it was Glory Days was playing, so I was actually thinking about some of them. But yeah, every show in Akron has its own feel. You didn't know if people were going to show up or not, and sometimes you'd be lucky playing in front of about 10 people, and then other times you'd play a show and it's sold out.
Yeah.
Probably some of my best memories actually happened just outside of Akron in Kent, and that was playing shows where that little Europe Gyro, a pizza place there in Kent, and basically for me getting to interact with the crowd by climbing across the beams of the ceiling and then kind of tearing things up that way, and then just weird little punk shows that we play at, like Manus in Kent, but then being in Akron is always good shows at this place that used to be there, Lime Spider, which many of the touring bands would come through and actually play some of the bigger national acts.
Yeah.
And it's actually a restaurant now, a gourmet cheese restaurant, and you actually sit on tables that are in places where the stage used to be, so it's kind of disorienting to think of all the nights that beer was thrown at us. Some of the better shows that we did play were the anniversary show for our band, really get into it, and, you know, there's nothing better than beer being thrown at you while you're playing on stage, and Akron never really let you down there, and I kind of just always push the show, and climbing across the bar, and freaking out people as you're singing, there's nothing better than that, doing that in Akron.
Yeah.
But probably the number one, like, best memory that I have is actually one of the kind of saddest, is the Live Spiders, very last night, our band, Airfuse, was honored to be the last band to ever play there.
Mm.
And basically that show was definitely sold out. You know, everybody was trying to get in all night, and it ended with us pulling up as many people as we could on stage. I don't even know where my guitar was. I see it in pictures. As I was just drained and kind of taking a nap back by the drums. So it was always cool playing Akron too, because we could get some great bands from Northeast Ohio and even Southern Ohio and Columbus. You know, like Arch Villains coming up and playing with us.
Yeah.
And it was always good times. Not really one that, you know, stands out as the one, because they all have their own personality. Just kind of how it is.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard for me to think of the Lime Spider as a fancy cheese restaurant now.
I'll tell you what, man. Like, I go in there, I love the owners to death, and I love Danny to death. It's one of those, it not being a punk rock bar anymore, and you go in and you see, like me personally, I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't my old stomping grounds. Who are these people? Who are these people in here? They don't play in my bar, you know?
Right.
But they're doing wonderfully, so it's another gathering place in Akron. As long as it's doing good, I wish them the best. They definitely have that kind of weirdness to the whole thing. When you think about a night when you've on your belly slid across the floor because it's so covered in beer. You know, it's the dichotomy of that and ordering a fine wine with your dinner is kind of always a little strange, to say the least.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what it's called now? They didn't keep the same name, did they?
No, it's actually called Locks View, which it's because it's across from where the old canal locks from back in Akron's early days are right across the street.
Okay, I see. Yeah, I remember.
Just the number 10, if you ever go down there, and the number, I believe it's the number 2 with jalapenos and cheese.
Gotcha. Good advice. I remember one of the other places that I only played once, but I remember having a good time. It used to be like a strip club, and then they turned it into a venue. Do you remember going down into the basement of that place, and there were like these old pictures of strippers in various states of undress?
Yes, definitely. It was called Orange Street, and it was one of the attempts by some people in Akron to do a all-ages DIY venue, and I'm trying to remember the name of the strip club that used to be, but yeah, I definitely remember that show. I actually still have one of those photos of the strippers on it after I'm out in LA.
Nice. Yeah.
That's a great show, too. It was one of the things that really in Akron that wasn't there all the time was a good DIY space for kids to come out to shows. A lot of times you're playing 21 and over shows or 18 and over just because of, obviously the liquor laws, but those were always fun. Being able to interact with the, what I would call, the kids. And that's when I was like 23 years old, and feel like old man at best those shows.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it when... Is, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, what's funny is at one of those shows, there's these group of kids, they're probably like 16 years old, and we always come out to like interview shows when they could get in, and it's interesting to see that one of my best friends is one came from that group of kids, and he actually lives in my old house now, and is throwing shows in the basement just like I used to, so it's always cool. It's Aaron Rodgers, a.k.a. the Savory Pony, a.k.a. Sound Man Extraordinaire. So that's kind of the passing of the torch, I guess, in some ways, happening from those shows.
Yeah, it's very cool. I always like it when people try to repurpose an old building, you know, to have shows and so forth. And sometimes it doesn't work out. That's why it's nice to have those house shows, you know, where it doesn't really matter where it is. Somebody will find a basement somewhere where people are willing to play. That's nice to have.
Exactly. And that's, with the acting scene, I was always found one of the better things that happened is because of the house shows that we would throw. Akron's scene in general differs from a lot of scenes that I heard about, and maybe it's just an Ohio thing where bands that didn't sound anything alike would play together because everybody was basically friends.
Yeah.
So you would actually have kind of a scene going. Everybody wasn't really competitive about, oh, we're gonna, you know, get this big record deal, so we're not gonna play with bands that sound like us. We won't only market to certain types of crowds, and you know, from the shows, it's the same people that were doing, you know, Irish car bombs up in the kitchen later that year. We're sharing stages, you know, across Cleveland and Akron, so it was always good times in that sense.
Yeah, that's very cool. I hear that. Another Ohio band had some kind of shitty things to say about Akron recently, and you take umbrage with that.
Yeah, the White Bars, we can call them, a.k.a. Band that blew up in Akron. It's kind of all how you look at it, whether or not it was a shitty thing to say about Akron. Recently, on a national television show, they were asked about Akron and didn't really look too kindly or say things that, you know, kind of were promoted the scene around. When asked what was really in Akron, they mentioned how it's tongue-in-cheek, which if you're not from Akron, you would totally think badly about Akron, but the way they said it was for Akron people, I think, but I think it's been taken in the wrong light. Basically, I understand all that's in Akron because of it is cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
And that there is no scene anymore, and it's disheartening because just talking with people around town since I've been back to town this past weekend, you know, it's kind of the talk everybody's having, and there's a lot of people that were friends and in that scene that just feel completely crapped on because of it. It's a bummer thing, but at the same time, that band isn't in Akron anymore either. And me having moved to Los Angeles, I could see some things, but it's just kind of one of those. I've always been a huge Akron supporter.
Yeah.
And, you know, as much as I can, yeah, I'll rip on the weather, tell you that the weather sucks, but at the same time, I'll tell you that, you know, it's a great town and great people.
Cool. Well, hey, thanks for joining us and talking to us, giving your two cents. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely, man. It's one of those things that don't count Akron out. It's a city where the music scene goes in cycles. It's about every 5 years you'll have a really tight scene going and good things happen. And just kind of look back on it. You got everything from Devo when they were in town before they split, and then, you know, everything happens 5 years after that. And I give props to bands like Black Keys that did all they could in that Akron scene, and everybody that we got to play with. And you just don't count Akron out. You know, it's, we got the blimp.
Right. You heard it here. Don't count Akron out. Thanks, Sean. I really appreciate it. Let's hear one of Sean's band's songs right now.
Now
All right, we're back.
So we're back.
That was a song by a band.
Yep. And we're going to talk...
We like music.
We're going to talk about a lot more songs and bands here with our city spotlight on Akron, Ohio.
And, that's right.
I live quite close to Akron. I live here up in the Cleveland area. And fortunately...
Right in the Cleve. In the Cleve. Right? Don't you live right in the Cleve?
In the Cleve?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Smack dab it in the middle.
Smack dab it. Yeah, I do. Boobs. Okay, so...
Back to work.
Back to... Back to work, you. I'm lucky enough to have my family live outside of Akron, so I get to go and see shows and just generally enjoy the Akron area a lot because they kind of have seen pretty much all I have to offer here in the Little Italy area tons of times.
Yeah.
I guess it's easier for me to go down and raise some ruckus down there. So, I have been out and saw a fair amount of bands in the Akron area, and now we'd like to share that with you with the following list. No, we're not going to do. That's crazy. Oh.
I was all excited. I thought you had a real list. But you can hit us with some highlights, right?
Absolutely.
If not a full-fledged list.
Check the website, aquabearlegion.com. To have a list would be insane because there are so many bands that float in and out of the Akron area. For example, there is a very small label called Bark and Hiss, and a lot of the bands that are on there, such as Comfort Clouds and, of course, the man behind the label, Keith, has a band called Trouble Books that I really like. They sort of are Akron-ish, you know, as in maybe Kent or maybe, I don't know, Findlay. I don't even, you know, it's kind of everyone, at least in that circle, maybe sort of collects around Akron and gets to do shows and things like that in the Akron, Kent, Cleveland, West Side area. So when you say Akron, it's maybe a little bit Cleveland too. But I do really like a lot of the bands on Bark and Hiss, which is stationed in Akron. There's a label called Xperia Media that is actually more towards Kent. That is a sort of online record shop, but they also release things by people in the area.
Cool.
There is the Rubber City Noise Collective, which I got to see in full attack mode during one of the, I think we mentioned it last time, the Innovation Fest here in Cleveland that goes on every year. They had a huge display underneath the bridge and were doing some really, you know, creative and cool stuff. And they actually have a recording sort of layer now down in Akron where you, my friend, can go and No, you're not my friend.
No.
But you are.
You mean the listener.
Yes, dear listener.
Okay, sorry. Continue.
Theater of the mind.
Stop laughing into your beer and continue.
This is brought to you by aquabearlegion.com. The Rubber City Noise Collective, they have a studio slash sort of performance space down in Akron where you can actually go and, you know, collaborate with some of those guys. So it's cool. A really, like, I think it's, I guess maybe to say like a music scene, or just some of the things that I really enjoy about the stuff going on in Akron. A music scene is a little bit pejorative in the sense that you should really say something like media scene, because there's a lot of performance is easily as much a part of, you know, what those three names that I just, well, maybe not Experiment Media, but you know what I'm saying. It's the performance aspect of what those collectives are doing is just as important as putting out some damn fine records. And one of the nice things about living around the Akron and Cleveland area is that we have Gotta Groove Records, which is a pressing plant, which you can go to if you're just some jackwad off the street and has a WAV file, and you can press up, you know, 145s of your dumbass band, and then
Jackwad and the Dumbasses.
That's my band.
Did you press records there?
Oh, I pressed them.
Well, that's really cool.
And that pressing house is where a lot of the bands in Akron go to have their stuff pressed up and distributed. So it's, you know, I think we mentioned Emeralds and those cats 2 podcasts ago. And if you've heard any Emeralds music, I think it's a reasonable entry point into the kind of things that I'm talking about. You know, very very synth driven, very, you know, kind of, I don't know. What am I trying to say? Moist music?
Yeah, moist music. I think that pretty well covers it.
There you go. So, yeah. Oh, and cool. One final plug where you can go and
plug away.
And actually go get all this junk is a great place called Square Records that is in Akron, where they carry all of the wares that the collectives and the individual bands, and actually they do a pretty good job of not carrying too much stuff that you might find at, you know, like a record exchange. They're definitely a step above and not so boutique that you can't go in there and just, you know, find like a copy of like a Minutemen record or something like that. You can definitely do that. So there's my Akron plugs.
All right, well, there you go. There's some cool shit to do in Akron when you are not eating delicious burgers and guzzling many varieties of milkshakes at Swenson's. So here's some more music.
Boom. That wasn't too bad, I guess.
Israeli. One perfect time to try to start this fire.
Say hello to the internet, Rick.
Hello, internet. Hello, Poland.
Hi. I am here with... What should we call you? Sir Richard Dodgson, Dr. Dick Dodgson, Dickie Doodah.
Triple D.
Triple D.
Any of those. Rick will be fine.
Rick Dodgson. A longtime friend. And even longer time musician.
Well, collaborator sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
Not for a while, though.
We're talking to Rick today because, excuse me, I was just up in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, where he now lives.
Sheboygan.
For the debut of his rock opera.
How awesome does that sound?
Yeah, pretty awesome. Mission to the Stars, it's called. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Mission to the Stars tells the story of Apollo Newman and his inner voice, who's known as Walter Ego, and his mission to the stars. He gets blasted off into space after winning a game show, and the story tells of his adventures in space and his finding of a planet eventually.
Yes, and hijinks ensue, right?
Well, yes.
And what was your role in this production?
I wrote the music for it, and the stage play, and I built lots of the props and the costumes people wore. I worked mostly with a drummer called Mike Burcham, and he and I would bounce ideas around and work on the songs and work on the arrangement. So while I wrote it, I would say it probably wouldn't have happened the way it did without Mike.
Cool. Shout out to Mike. He's a good guy.
Shout out to Mike.
A great drummer.
Yeah, he's a great drummer, but he doesn't have any internet or email. So I could say what I like about him. I'm here, really. His feet stink.
But whose don't?
And yeah, that's true. But his stink particularly.
And it was, when was that? October 15th?
October 15th. It's still outside on the marquee. It still says Mission to the Stars, October 15th, on the little marquee outside this small theater where we staged it.
Yeah.
And people text me and tell me, hey, the sign's still up. And I'm determined to leave it up there as long as possible. Just... I get a buzz every time I drive past that place.
Awesome. Revel in your glory.
Sure. I know, it wasn't my glory. I am, proud of myself.
As you should be.
For how it turned out. But there was a bunch of people involved, and it was as good as it was because everybody put themselves into it, really. And we said from the beginning that our success was going to be measured by whether it happened or not. Mm-hmm. And it happened, so it was immediately successful, regardless of whatever happened on the night.
Right, right.
It was just great. It was just a local, real amateur production. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty proud of the music, and
yeah,
somehow the songs did manage to tell a story. And yet, I think the songs stand alone. I think most of them, anyway, stand alone and don't have to be. Just listen to as part of the storyline of the rock opera.
Right.
That's what I wanted, really. I didn't want to just write songs about going to space. I wanted them to have deeper meaning.
Cool. And we unfortunately don't have at this moment recordings of the live performance for you, but we do have something more exclusive, right?
Oh yeah, a lost demo that was should never have really been found.
Yeah, but you're still going to do us a solid and let us take a listen.
Yeah, earlier. Well, I knew when I was doing this. I don't write music. I can't really write it down properly. So I recruited what ended up to be a 6-piece band. I think a whole bunch of local musicians wanting to play.
Mm-hmm.
All of them better musicians than I, actually. So I was lucky to be surrounded by such talent. But to get them to learn the songs, I mean, you can learn only so much in a 2-hour practice. You can probably run through a song a few times, but no guarantee that you'll remember it next week.
Right.
So if I can't write them down beyond chords and lyrics, I decided that I had to record some demos.
Mm-hmm.
And I borrowed a digital recorder and tried to do it in my basement, but would always get caught up in wanting to make it better than it was and adding a bass line and something here and something there. And so it was just taking me forever. So I went into John Pena's basement, which sounds like the adventure that it was, and we spent an afternoon just running through the songs acoustically, me just playing acoustic guitar and singing them, and then playing the next one. So we didn't listen to any of them back. Mm-hmm. There was no opportunity for me to say, oh, I don't like my voice there, or to redo parts. If I messed up, I just messed up. And even in this one, I think you might hear me saying that I messed it up in some place or other. Mm-hmm. But I listened to them back on the way here, that CD for the first time, actually, listening it all the way through, and there were some cringeworthy moments. So I'm not letting you hear those.
Right.
But the one song I think that survives is called the Song of Condemnation. It's the song the alien princess sings to her father,
mm-hmm.
Condemning him for his warlike, mean and bitter ways.
Mm. He sounds like a dick.
Well, he comes around at the end. In fact, in the show, the third verse is going to be sung by the Kink.
Ah.
So this song has two parts. The first two verses are sung by the princess, really dressing her father down for the error of his ways. And the last verse is a very contrite, father, Atlas, the alien king, recognizing the wisdom of her words and coming around to her point of view.
Cool. Well, let's have a listen of some of that Song of Condemnation.
The Song of Condemnation.
All right, here we go.
You got blood in your hands and a stain on your soul. The ice in your veins means your heart it is cold and empty and cruel. And everyone knows you get down on your knees. Though your soul, it is already sold. That story is old. Down there on your knees, you can beg all you please. Your soul is beyond your retrieve. When you think you're all right, that nothing is wrong, and you've got nothing to say except some worn-out old hate sign. But open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. When you stand all alone with your face set like stone, and when push comes to shove, you got no one to love. Your fate is sealed like a ship that has sailed in the night, far out of sight. when memory fails and fortune prevails. Your fate is sealed like a thief running scared at night. Does it have to be? Does it have to be? Does it have to be? Does it have to be this way? Does it have to be? Does it have to be? Does it have to be? Does it have to be this way? In a deep dark hole, the bars of our minds guard in the door. We're weak, strong only in memory, weighed down by the weight of it all. We're lost, lost in a lonely place, where beauty and love fall to hate. We're scared, scarred by our ancient fears, weighed down by the weight of it all. Doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be this way. Doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be this way.
That was great.
Boom.
Well done. So people probably listening on the internet realize that you don't have the typical Sheboygan, Wisconsin accent.
Nope.
Can you tell us, I know you consider yourself, in your own words, a citizen of the globe. Can you tell us how you got to Sheboygan?
Well, I've been there about 4 or 5 years now. Yeah, I teach at a local college called Lakeland College, which first took me to Sheboygan, Wisconsin. And prior to that, I was mostly in at Ohio University in Athens. I've been there three times, once as an undergraduate exchange student, one of those weird people that has to go to orientation to learn how to use American toilet paper.
Right.
That was ages ago, like in the early 90s when Bill Clinton first got elected. I remember seeing Hillary Clinton on the steps of the old Baker Center.
Yeah.
Then that was just for 1 year. I went home and finished my undergraduate degree and came back to do a master's at OU for a couple of years, then went home again and came back most recently in 1998, and I was there till about 2006, studying and playing music.
Right. And that's when you crossed paths with the Aqua Bear Legion, wasn't it?
Well, it's when I first crossed paths with Chris Poland.
That's me.
I was teaching in the political science department and was given an office chair with this guy who had a huge stand-up cutout of Bruce Lee, I seem to remember, a collection of ginger ale bottles, root beer bottles, and strange Star Wars references, and a growing collection of odd-looking posters on the back of the door from bands that you've been in. And I'd played music since I was about 15, just a kind of amateur Johnny, and had not really got involved in any real sense in the Athens music scene.
Yeah.
I played open mics and places like that, and the Baker Center and elsewhere, I think the occasional coffee store.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until I finally went along to see... Did I see Weed Goes First or Kid Panda Hands? I think it was Kid Panda Hands.
Probably.
I think it was Kid Panda Hands in the Union. I know that I was only one of two people left in the room by the time you and Andrew and Jimmy had finished playing.
Yeah, that sounds right. I think I remember that show. It was an assault on the senses.
It was a squall of feedback, but I could hear what you were trying to do, even inside that noise.
Yeah. Did we succeed?
You made a lot of noise in the Union's sound system, just bouncing around as usual. But it made an impression on me.
Yeah. And then you were welcomed with open arms into the.
Well, that was a surprise for me. I think I was invited to your house to come and jam, in the basement, or Ben's house, I suppose we should make clear whose house it was.
Right.
And I think, did we record the first one?
We did.
Are you sure? I think we didn't record the first one.
No, maybe not.
One of those, we should have recorded that
And then we recorded the second one and it wasn't as good.
That's true. But then we did Neptune's Children pretty early on.
Which is a Kid Panda Hands recording.
And we didn't look back. That was an awesome couple of years, like 2005 and 2006, around there. Yeah, that was fantastic. And I credit that. Kid Panda Hands were just awesome. If I say so myself, some people, I think, caught it.
Yeah,
but not many. But for me, the legend lives on, and definitely resurrected my interest in music, and opened up new vistas of noisy messiness with which to fill.
Right.
And I shouldn't give Kid Panahan's credit for my rock opera, but
no,
it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been reintroduced to the excitement of music again. And being in Athens, part of that scene, knowing you and Andrew and being part of that whole little group, you know, introduced to Brian Cosco and the Casio Tone Orchestra,
right.
Played at one of my birthday parties on the porch of my house.
The Olympic Games.
Was that the Olympic Games? No, they played the year before that.
Was that the USA one? What was that one? That was Olympic Games.
Yeah, but Casio Tone Orchestra played an earlier one.
Was that one just sporty themed? No, that was the karaoke themed, or rock and roll themed one. Because, I think so. Maybe not, I don't know.
I'm not sure. We've got video of it somewhere.
Yeah.
So that's how I came in touch with Aquabare Legion.
Yeah.
Through meeting you, through being involved in the music scene. Inevitably, in Athens, you're going to run into Costco.
Yeah.
And word of Aquabare Legion. And I remember at first that I really wanted to be part of this thing that it was.
Yeah.
And I kept waiting to be invited or given my membership card. And I know when I didn't know Brian very much, I would keep asking him, can I be an Aquabare Legion?
Yeah.
And he would kind of nod or just evade the question, which made me think that he didn't really want me to be in Aquabare Legion.
Yeah.
Until I realized that just by wanting to be in it, you were already in it. There was no dues to be paid,
right.
The occasional pancake to be eaten,
right.
or weird event to be invited to. But I love Aquabare Legion, and I'm trying to do a similar thing in Sheboygan where I live.
Cool.
Not exactly the same. It doesn't quite have the same scale of a college town music scene.
Right.
Yeah, but it does have a music scene and an art and culture and poetry scene, so I'm going to try and get an online magazine called shebejeebe.com going.
Cool.
To try and capture that in as hip a way as I can.
Awesome.
Hmm.
Yeah. So let's say somebody wants to hear Mission to the Stars or see a recording of it or maybe catch a live version of it, how would one go about doing that?
Well, so far we don't have any web presence.
Right.
What I need is other people to do all that stuff for me.
You're more the big picture guy.
I don't know. I was making props and writing songs and running, playing in the band, and
you did it all
till the very end, really. So it's not that I wasn't busy, just didn't have time for that. But we did film the first performance, and I haven't seen any of that footage yet. But I'm told it's pretty good.
Cool.
And I think the ambition is to cut it into a movie.
Yeah.
Not sure yet whether it's just going to be a live performance movie with a kind of behind-the-scenes making-of documentary
right.
tacked onto it, or whether we're going to weave some of the interviews and backstage footage and that stuff
one big production
into a bigger movie. Either way, once it's done, we'll have some sort of world premiere at a local venue in Sheboygan.
Awesome.
And we'll dress up as formal aliens or something like that.
And we'll be sure to let people know on here when that happens. But you do have one more performance scheduled at this point, right?
Yeah.
Or at least some sort of
realization. It's definitely going to happen.
Cool.
That will be, I think it's August 17th. I might be wrong about that. It's a Friday night. And in Sheboygan, in the middle of August, we have a festival, the only hippie festival or countercultural festival in what is a pretty straight conservative old German town, really. But this weekend is liberation and down in Fountain Park,
and
they usually have events, music, food all throughout Saturday and Sunday. But this year, for the first time, on the Friday night beforehand, in this cool band venue down there, which is more often full of polka bands than it is pop music. On Friday night, we're going to do a version of Mission to the Stars.
Awesome.
And that's hot news.
Yes.
We'll probably end up doing, I'm not sure, other shows around that same time.
Yeah.
It takes a lot to get this thing
yes, it does.
Going. And I think if we get it going enough for the Earthfest show, then maybe we'll do a few theater shows around the place.
Cool.
It's a small production
mm-hmm.
that would look out of stage on a big stage. But
right.
I would love to do it elsewhere. Stuart's Opera House would just be totally awesome, so we'll keep that one on the back burner. But there's venues in Sheboygan. There's a cool art center there that would be nice to do it outside. They
right.
have a stage and a venue there. I've got friends in Madison and Chicago. Maybe we can take it there. But it's certainly a fun thing to play with.
Cool. Well, thank you for coming on to Sometimes the Bear Eats You and telling us a little bit about this.
I'm going to steal this idea too. So CBGB is going to have lots of cool webcasts. So you can expect to be interviewed soon.
Chris Poland. Okay. So we'll trade podcast interviews. Mm,
yeah.
We'll awesome. Become
pod buddies.
Well, thanks. And hopefully we'll have you on again soon.
No worries. Sheboygan. Thank you.
that was Kid Panda Hands.
Boosh.
Boosh indeed. One of the most infamous bands in Athens. And I'm glad Kid Panda Hands was a positive influence on Rick, and that brought him into the fold, and he could become a panda himself and learn about freakiness in music even more so. I'm rambling.
No, I'm just one glad of my that... favorite bands from Athens. Oh, absolutely.
Thanks. I'm glad Rick,
despite the fact that you're in it.
I hope you enjoyed this episode.
You guys gotta watch out for those Kid Panda Hands t-shirts at Hot Topic.
Right. For that. I'm sure they're there, right in between like the sad skeleton and the, I don't know, angry heart.
And the eight bit something.
right. We did have KPH t-shirts for a while. Rick made a design. Jimmy made a design, I think. But they are long gone. Those are collector's items by now.
I think my DVD is one of my most treasured ephemera from the catalog.
Nice. So, again, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed our little tidbits on Athens and our interviews with others. And hope you heard some good music and had maybe a laugh or two in there as well. There was a laugh.
That's
it wasn't sincere, but that's all right.
No, that was a very sincere, tender laugh. That was not my usual acerbic asshole self. So,
fair enough. Well, thanks, right. Noah. Thanks for commenting positively on your show.
All right.
Well, thanks, everybody. Next episode, it'll be 2012. We'll be on the moon with the Math Squad. It'll be totally awesome. We'll talk about our best and worst.
We'll do a
memories.
Year-end wrap up.
Yeah, it's bound to be the most exciting / upsetting show of the new year.
And hopefully, I can pull down some highlights from our archive that didn't make the cut, that are too bizarre or funny to have made the original cut of the first six.
Too funny for the internet, but pure gold anyway.
So is there anything that's not too funny for the internet?
Yes. All right, thanks everybody. We'll see you next time. AquabearLegion.com is where you should go to hear us and lots of other awesome things.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Based in Appalachian, Ohio, the Aqua Bear Legion provides a community network for creative people. We are dedicated to supporting and enhancing independent music and art for our extended region. We focus on collaborative relationships to create opportunities for independent musicians and artists.
You gotta nunchuck the shit out of that dummy.
Oh my god, that guy is so lame.